Hello, E123 podcast. What's up?
What's up? Have we ever done one? This is the morning. Have we ever done one in the morning?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's exciting. But, what a way to start the day, Pat.
I know.
With a podcast.
We're talking, and we ended up talking about a kind of interesting thing that happened to us as a band. Probably 7 years ago now.
I mean, it was the last thing we did on Forever Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We realized that it would be a great little short little podcast episode. Like we had been doing for a bit there. We will get into that soon, but if you want a fun, little entertaining episode, that is what we have coming up for you. We've been freaking working on this new little secret project for Halloween that continues. The mystery continues.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo episode where someone's going to figure it out, but we're planting the seeds.
But we're just asking that on Halloween you save the date at 4 p.m. Pacific. So do that. We'll see you there maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll hop into a little mini episode here talking about the last show we played on the Forever Halloween album cycle, which was not the farewell for Halloween show. So every so often we play a show that you guys don't ever hear about. It's like kind of odd to even like think about that concept, that there has been shows that we've played that our fans aren't aware of.
Yes.
So this particular show, we were asked to play a private party in Dallas, Texas. And these kind of like opportunities for us don't come all that often.
But when it does,
it's a cool little extra bonus, and you know, get paid an okay amount, and they take care of the expenses and the travel and all that stuff. So really, all that we were told was that it was a birthday party, and we're like, okay, cool, yeah, we'll do it.
We didn't fly in, right? Or did we?
I think we did.
But I feel like we had been part of one of the Forever Halloween shows. Like we had just done one.
Yeah, yeah.
And was it it would have been the last one. So it would have been right after Chicago?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we must have, maybe we flew from Chicago to Texas.
I think that's
for the show.
Because I remember it felt like we'd been doing stuff for a second.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, we get there, and it's at a venue. I think it was at the Granada Theater, which we had performed at before. But
that was actually that venue is like one of the first ones I remember us playing on tour in general. There was like that festival we played.
Yeah.
And I remember and it was like the first or second show or something that when we actually started to tour that we'd ever played there. So it felt, I had all these like flashbacks when we went there. I was like, oh, this feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get to the venue and they're setting up and, you know, they're just talking. This guy, Michael, it's his birthday. And we didn't really have an idea of his age or anything. So we're thinking that maybe it's a kid or, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, we're going to bring back Michael. He wants to say hi before the show. And we meet Michael, very nice guy. But, yeah, he's in his mid-50s, be my guess.
Yes, I would – something like that. He never said his birthday. And
here is his age.
Yeah, so sorry, his age. And it was probably one of those things where he the person who announces him, they go, it's his 50th birthday. And so you can do the math.
You don't have,
but you don't, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So the show was us and Shinedown, maybe, Chevelle. I don't know.
It was one of like early 2000s, like heavier rock.
Yeah. But like a big name.
Yes. Yes.
So we play this show and there's, when we played, there were not many people there yet. There was like 30 or 40 people. And they're all like random ages, you know, they're like between 20 and 80, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, John got them having fun or whatever, but it was, you know, it's kind of one of those shows when you go and you play half an hour and like, there aren't really like expectations of like making the crowd like in your band or anything, you know, you're just kind of going up there and you're doing your thing.
Yeah. Background music.
You're just kind of background music. So we played the show and it was cool or whatever, you know, it was fine. And then we wanted to go say bye to Michael before we left, you know, because he had us come play his party. So we wanted to say thanks for having us and happy birthday. So we went and I go out there and I start talking to him and we just strike up conversation about how we run things with our band and being independent and all these kind of things. And then he gives me his email address and says, like, I have a bunch of connections in Texas. If there's anything that you ever need, just give me an email and I'll help, you know, as much as I can. So we go and that was kind of the end of it, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't think too much of it again until, I mean, it must have been a year later or more.
I think it was probably 2 years later.
We started working on the free tour and we're trying to book a show in Dallas. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this Michael guy said that if, you know, that he has a bunch of connections in Texas. So I send an email. I tell him, you know, we're trying to do this free tour to thank our fans for all the support over the years. And I was just curious if you had anybody to get me in contact with that could potentially could help. And he said, he responded back. I remember exactly. And the only thing he said was me with a period. I was like, oh, that's amazing. So he gave me his number and I gave him a call, and long story short, he ended up wanting to, he rented out the House of Blues in Dallas and in Orlando to host the shows. So he just paid for the venues to be like to have the full the crew and the staff and security and everything and the venue to be open, but we didn't have to charge for tickets.
Yeah, I mean, so that I remember
super awesome of him.
Yeah, those two cities in particular, I remember it was really hard to find how we were going to do it, do those shows there. And so he just swooped in and made them happen. And it was like fucking awesome. I mean, that's crazy. That's so much money that he just gave us so we could do this thing. And it's super, super cool. And those shows ended up being like, I remember the Orlando one being like, fucking huge.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So one of the little things that he did mention though, he's like, I'll get the venues for your fans for the show, but I want to perform a song with you guys in Dallas. So we're like, we're kind of thinking like, oh, that's weird. Like, is that like affecting the show? But then we're like, well, I mean, that's how we can give people a free concert.
I know.
And literally he just wants to, you know, so it like seems like one of those moves that's like, oh my God, like we're selling out. but then we thought about it again. It's like, well, are we selling out by, well, first off, who gives a shit if we're selling out? But it's like, this is all we have to do is perform a song with this guy, and we're going to allow 4,000 people to get a free concert from our band.
Yeah.
Like, okay, awesome. So he, like 2 days before the show, he sends us a YouTube link of a song. I don't even know what the song is called, by the Black Crowes. I don't even think it was like one of their popular songs.
I don't think so either. And it would take a long time for me to even find that song.
Yeah. So we learned the song. I mean, I think we learned it in soundcheck like that day.
Yes. Well, we knew he was going to be there at like 4 or something to do the song.
Yeah.
And I think we started learning it at like 2. And soundcheck that whole day was just running it.
Yeah, and I think he even gave us some notes on it, like when he got there for soundcheck. I think he said something about the tempo or something.
That or like a drum, like he needed a certain drum fill to know when to come in.
Yeah.
There was something like, it was totally something like that.
Yeah, so if anything was at that show in Dallas, we performed a song, a cover song by the Black Crowes with a 55-year-old man named Michael. And it was actually fun because he was, like, loving it. He was having a blast. He had some friends come there out in the crowd that were watching it whatever. And I mean, he just, like, popped in for that, and he was kind of gone.
I don't even think he stayed for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember talking to him after.
No.
It was in and out.
But, yeah, and then he asked us to go out to dinner before the show.
Oh, yeah.
And me and you were the only ones that went.
Yep.
And he was really nice.
Yeah.
And he took us to, like, a fancy restaurant and bought us dinner and just wanted to know about the band and, you know, how we got started and stuff.
And do you remember he was like, you guys didn't have to do this song. Do you remember him saying that?
Yeah.
He was like, I just asked, and usually if you ask, people say yes, is what he fucking said. And I was like, yeah. True, we kind of felt like we had to, but
that's what happened. Kind of one of the more interesting parts of the free tour, you know, because there was like lots. I mean, that was kind of the interesting thing about doing the free tours. Every show, like how we were able to make it free, was always completely different, you know.
Yes. And there's like definitely like the Patriots one, we had to play that thing at the game that was really weird. And like Yeah, so it was like there were some times when we had to be kind of slightly uncomfortable for things to end up working, but I mean, it made for great stories, and I mean, it stands out as a very memorable tour just in general.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is just a little fun and interesting story about how things can come full circle, and something that you think is, you know, a part of your play that's nothing, and then it becomes a whole thing. So
totally.
Yeah, that's it. We'll be back with another episode here soon.
See ya.
Later.